Today is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, but we're also celebrating the external solemnity of the Feast of St. Pius X. So the epistle for the Feast of St. Pius X is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Brethren, we had confidence in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God in much carefulness, for our exhortation was not of error, nor of uncleanliness, nor in deceit. But as we were approved by God that the gospel should be committed to us, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who provided our hearts. For neither have we used at any time the speech of flattery, as you know, nor taken an occasion of covetousness, God is witness. Nor sought we glory of men, neither of you nor of others. Whereas we might have been burdensome to you as the apostles of Christ, but we became little ones in the midst of you, as if a nurse should cherish her children, so desirous of you, we would gladly impart unto you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you were become most dear unto us. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 21. At that time Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? He said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith to him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? He saith to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, Feed my sheep. Please be seated. To restore all things in Christ, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. As I mentioned, we celebrate today the external solemnity of the Feast of St. Pius X. When you have important feasts that maybe not necessarily you can have the solemnity, say during the weekday or something of that nature, then you will have it celebrated on the closest Sunday. And so with the Feast of St. Pius X being a first-class feast for the Society of St. Pius X, he is our patron. We take this opportunity to celebrate his feast and trying to have more of a solemnity for it and showing the importance of our patron. And if you've had a chance to read a bit about the life of St. Pius X or to know more about him, you know, I would encourage you to try to read more on him. One, because he is our patron, but I think it's important because if the Archbishop felt that it was so important to choose him as a patron, we should try to understand why. You know, why would the Archbishop, out of all different saints, have chosen St. Pius X? You know, what was his reasoning behind that? Well, the Archbishop, because of what he was fighting at the time, because don't forget, the Society was started in 1970, that the Archbishop realized what was going on inside the church. Because of the modernism, because of the liberalism that was attacking the church from within, he wanted to choose a patron that had fought that during his life. And that clearly is one of the things that St. Pius X definitely fought during his pontificate, but even before that. And I think that is the interesting to see with the life of St. Pius X. St. Pius X was one that was from very humble beginnings, very poor, but yet he had a desire to love God above all things. And so that desire stayed with him throughout his life. So as he became a priest, that is what he wanted to try to do, is to show this love of God in all of his actions. And so yet, even though he was from this humble beginnings, some of the missions that he was stationed at, some of his assignments, they were not too pleased with him because he was this humble beginnings. You know, they were looking more for ones that came maybe from, you know, rich families, from a educated background, and that's what they were desirous of. So even at some points, the people of the parish would write to the bishop. So even back then it happened that people would write about their priest. But they wrote and said they did not want him, because they were afraid of that he was too simple. And the bishop knew St. Pius X. He knew, you know, at that time, Father Sarto. He knew what a man he was. And so the bishop basically ignored it. The bishop basically told them, just wait and see. Wait and see what you will get. And that is a thing that afterward they did not accept Father Sarto at first until they could see what he was all about. And he was one that gave of his life for his souls, for his flock. Even when he first started off as an associate pastor, the pastor of the parish recognized the good qualities. He recognized exactly what St. Pius X was going to be. And so he would tell him, it's just a matter of time before you're made a pastor, that you'll take over. And it even happened at the time of his first assignment that the pastor actually got sick and was not able to fulfill the responsibilities of being pastor. So that was the start for St. Pius X. And he handled it in such a way, handling it in order to try to do what was good for the faithful, but he would have to correct at times. He would have to discipline. But he showed to them the care for their souls. And that is what won over all of the different places that he was stationed. As I say, because at first, yes, maybe they were looking for someone different. They were looking for a different priest, whatever it may have been. He won them over because he showed how much he cared for their souls and how much he would be willing to sacrifice for their souls. And then when he was made bishop, it was no different. One of the things that St. Pius X tried to impress upon his priest was to educate the faithful, to educate them so that they will have a greater love for their faith and a greater understanding of their faith, so that they can live their faith better. To the point that he would actually go out and visit the churches that were under his care. And if a priest was lacking in not teaching catechism or explaining things to them, he would do it himself. Or if he wasn't hearing confessions, he would go hear them. To the point, there's one story where one pastor, St. Pius X, tried to tell him of his responsibilities, tell him of what he should be doing. And for whatever reason, he was doing something else. So St. Pius X went in, started hearing confessions. So someone came to the pastor and told him that someone's hearing confessions in his confessional. He goes over, like knocks on the door, opens it up, and finds that it's his bishop. And so he realized at that point. St. Pius X smiled and just handed him the stole and walked out. Didn't say anything to him. He didn't have to say anything to him. The correction was already there. And so for that priest, yes, most likely, after that, he was very vigilant in performing his duties. He was very vigilant in performing what was asked of him. And that is why St. Pius X continually, what he had asked of his faithful and asked of his priest, asked of those that were under him, he would do himself first. He would never ask of them something that he would not himself handle. And so through his work and through his example is what showed the priest of what they must be. And that was seen by his superiors, that they would continually to see how dedicated he was in saving souls and how that was the goal of his priesthood. And so that is why then he moved up the ladder in the church itself. Because of that dedication, because of that was his sole purpose of trying to save souls. I mean, it is the first law of the church, the salvation of souls. And it should be the intention of every single priest, that they would do everything to try to save souls. And so that is why the Archbishop chose then St. Pius X as our patron. Because he realized the two necessary qualities. The love for souls that he had, but then the firmness and the willingness to fight for what was right. Because that is truly what the archbishop had found at the time when he was forming the society as the major problem. The liberalism, the modernism that was attacking the church is what he knew we had to attack. And so Archbishop, following in the footsteps of St. Pius X, he attacked it the same way at the Second Vatican Council. He attacked it because he realized we had to. And so that is the thing, as I say, the two qualities of St. Pius X that were very clear. And that is what got him elected as the Pope. Because after Leo XIII died, the cardinals, the conclave that came, they realized what they must have. They said, we must have a holy Pope, a saintly Pope, to lead the church. Leo XIII was very educated. He was a very intelligent Pope. But they also wanted one at that point, one that was very holy. And it didn't matter what his background was. It was funny, at the conclave itself, when we were talking about the different cardinals that could possibly be elected, someone had mentioned his name. And Cardinal Sarto at that point was fearful. And another cardinal told him, who was French, he had told him, he said, do you know French? And Cardinal Sarto said no, and he said, well, then you can't be elected. He was still elected even though not knowing French. But he agreed with him. He said, well, yeah, that's a good point. Because he was looking for any means to try to avoid taking on that responsibility. And that is then again what basically won him over to the cardinals at the conclave itself. It was this true humility in not wanting to become the Holy Father because he feared the responsibility of that. He feared that he was not gifted enough to be able to do that. But to the point, the more that they saw that, the more that they recognized that fact, the more that they realized he was the one. And so in a way, he was shooting himself in the foot if he really didn't want it. He was trying to be honest with them. But the more that he said these things, the more that for them, they were convinced that he was truly the one. To the point that it's interesting to see how they told him that they said, you must accept to become Pope. And he said, no. He said, I cannot take that responsibility. Until finally someone had said to him, one of the cardinals, he said, fine, if you want to turn your back on God's will, go right ahead. And at that point, what could Cardinal Sarto say? He had lived his life following God's will. He had done everything he could to follow through in God's will. And so at that point, that's correction to him. It brought it home that this was God's will for him. And so he went to the Pauline Chapel to pray. And he was praying before Our Lady of Good Counsel, obviously seeking the advice of Our Lady. And it's interesting to see how Cardinal Mary Duval, who would later become his Secretary of State, he was sent to go find Cardinal Sarto and tell him, you have to accept the papacy. And in a way, it's a very moving circumstance that when he found Cardinal Sarto praying to God that this would not be his will, because he did not want that responsibility, because he felt the weight of that responsibility. And so he was crying before the image of Our Lady of Good Counsel, and Cardinal Sarto came to him and told him, it is God's will that you accept it. And because it is God's will, that he will give you the necessary graces to handle it. And that is the famous where he says to him, Coraggio, you know, take courage. And all St. Pius X could do is look and turn to him with tears in his eyes and said, if it's God's will, I accept it. And so from there we see then the papacy, the pontificate of St. Pius X, relatively short, was only 11 years. But in those 11 years, what he accomplished is amazing. And it's amazing to see the firmness that he had, but yet still the gentleness that he had. That he always had this care of souls, first and foremost, in his life. And it is through that care of souls that he was able to influence the church itself. And that is why then we benefit from the pontificate of St. Pius X, the things that he had done, the things that he accomplished. But as I say, one of the main things also, the two qualities, yes, this love of souls above all things, trying to save their souls. But then secondly from that, was the firmness that he had in fighting what was considered the enemy of the church. And he had realized at the time of his pontificate and even beforehand that the actual enemy of the church was within. It was this liberal Catholicism, this modernism that had crept into the church that he fought with all the vigor and the dedication that he had toward souls. And that is where we have Pascendi, his famous encyclical. This famous encyclical that fought and exposed the dangers. And how then Archbishop, many years later, would echo the same sentiments of saying that the true enemy of the church is the liberal Catholic. They are the true enemy to the church. Because under the appearances of being a Catholic, they are liberal. And it is through that liberal Catholicism that will destroy the Catholic Church as much as God will permit it. And so that is then what we see with the Second Vatican Council and truly why the Archbishop chose St. Pius X as our patron. And so for us, we have to understand that. For us, we must try to see and understand what does that mean to restore all things in Christ. It was his motto. It was the first thing that he had said for his pontificate. You know, what does that mean for us? You know, many years later, he died in 1914. And so here we are, so many years later from that. I mean, do we truly understand the pontificate of St. Pius X? And as I say, had we understood beforehand why the Archbishop chose him? He had all the different saints to choose from as a patron, but he chose him because of these two qualities. And that is what then he was trying to encourage for all of the priests that are formed in the society. That they too must have these same qualities. And it's something that we must try to work toward. As weak as we are, we must work toward these goals of being firm and trying to fight for what is right, but then also obviously having a love for souls and a willingness to try to do anything you can for souls. And so that is our patron. He is our patron, and the Archbishop followed through. Reading the life of the Archbishop too, you can see clearly his love for souls too. And so we have these models, but as I say, to restore all things in Christ is a sentiment for all of us. That we must truly try to put Christ in all things in our lives. That Christ must be this head. The head of our family, the head of our life, the head of the world. And it is up to us to put that into practice. And so we cannot just go through our lives of just not realizing that and not doing the things that are necessary for that. Of truly placing our Lord so high in our lives that he is our end. Because that is how we will reach our end. That is how we will gain what we are created for. And that is all that St. Pius X, that he was working toward for souls, to get them to heaven. And that is why he truly believed that the sanctity of the priesthood was the true crux of the matter. Because he felt if we can have truly holy priests, they will lead the faithful. And they will lead them in the proper direction. But God forbid if you have lukewarm priest, where would that, does that lead the faithful? And so that's why it is important to pray for holy priest. That is why it's good to have, you know, the prayer crusade for priests, to have our first Thursdays, or the Thursday before the first Friday of the month, first Thursdays, to make this holy hour. To pray for priest. Because how necessary that it is. And that is what St. Pius X worked his whole life toward. Sanctification of his own soul, which he reached, but then also the sanctification of the souls that were entrusted to him, especially his priest. I mean, to the point, yes, he would go correct them. That he would take their place in what they should be doing. And so, he truly lived his life according to his motto. He did try to do everything he could in his power to restore all things in Christ. And so, we have to carry that on. We have to try to follow through with that. That we must also, to restore all things in Christ. But it begins, one, at the individual level, and then at the family level, at the parish level, and so on. Because we cannot build if we are not doing it individually. There's no point to it. We're building on sand at that point. So we must try to start from the very foundations. And that is truly what St. Pius X did. That is truly what he tried to accomplish in his pontificate and to leave to all of us. He did want to restore all things in Christ. And so in front of his tomb, it's interesting to see. On his tomb, he wanted something very simple. He did not want anything elaborate. So therefore, they put up something in front of his tomb. And I'll read to you, I'll end with that, what is written in front of his tomb. Pope St. Pius X, poor in riches, gentle and humble of heart, a firm defender of the Catholic faith, who desired to restore all things in Christ. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.